On the Wall, Season 1, Episode 8. Dan, good to see you again, my friend.
It is, mate. 2 weeks in a row, we're back. You haven't ducked off on another holiday?
No, and I'm well, I'm rested. Last week we spoke about my visit to the doctors. Yeah. I'm fully recovered.
There's a fishy smell in the air in the apartment today. What's...
You know what? I'm glad you said something, because I said to Emma, my girlfriend, that we're not cooking fish in this apartment anymore. We bought some blue grenadier, I believe the fish was.
Well, that fancy.
And I said, there's a linger of the, I don't know if it's the pans or the bin or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a linger. She thought that I was overreacting and said, don't be ridiculous.
When was this? Monday?
Monday night.
Okay.
So it's like 3 nights.
Yeah, 3 nights. Wow.
It's lingering around, isn't it?
It is. You should open a window.
Yeah, I might do that. Dan, as always, we start with feedback from last week.
Yes.
I thought it was not bad.
It was a faultless episode. It was probably our most faultless episode we've done yet. No technical glitch.
Well, you'd think so, but no. Well, there's a really? Little bit of feedback here from Jake Lambert. Thank you, legend, for contacting us. He was talking about my man crush on my sister's new boyfriend.
Ah, good.
And he said, mate, don't even stress. He's great mates with his sister's boyfriend.
No, I still disagree.
No, he's still good friends. Even though they've split up.
They broke up.
They're still good friends to this day.
The friendship remains.
Yeah. So thanks, Jake.
That's impressive.
Thanks for your support, mate.
Okay.
And this was the technical feedback. One of the things that popped up.
One.
Music bed was a bit loud.
Oh, for God's sake. If the music bed is the new issue that we've found, we're doing pretty well.
That music bed, by the way, is a technical term for the music that sort of sits under the vocals.
Sounded perfect.
Yeah. A bit loud, apparently.
Mate.
They want to hear us more clearly. Anyway, Dan, you walked in with a bag full of stuff.
I've got a little taste testing for you today. Yeah. Is that exciting? You're a man that enjoys to indulge in a few treats here and there.
Yeah.
I've got some new treats for you.
Interesting. So long as it's not fish, I'll be happy with that.
No, it's not fish, no.
Dan, I've cheated. I've cheated on someone.
Oh,
it's a pretty big deal.
Oh,
actually,
goodness.
And I'm going to be bringing it up later, and
I
don't feel good about it.
Wow.
Stay tuned for that, because that's going to be...
Everyone knows you're in a relationship, so this raises alarm bells.
Let's get this started.
Okay. Tim, the other week, Georgia and I, we went out into the city, had a nice night in the city, stayed at Crown.
Date night? Oh, a staycation date.
It was a staycation date.
That's amazing.
It was a little occasion. We thought, let's treat ourselves, go have a nice night in the city. Delightful.
Yeah.
Delightful. But I don't know about you, because the rooms cost a little bit of money. So we're like, we'll make the most of the room. We'll stay in there as much as possible. We'll get food, like get takeaway, get it in the room, get some snacks.
You have to do everything. You have to wear the dressing gowns, put the slippers on, the hotel slippers and dressing gown, the bar. Yeah, everything, Dan.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you.
It was brilliant. So we got in there, went and dropped the bags. Mm. And we thought, okay, let's head down to there was an IGA down on the corner.
Okay.
Great. Head down to the IGA, get some snacks, get some stuff. Yeah. Go in there, and you'd agree, Tim, supermarkets have come a long way, haven't they? New technology, self-serve.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can shop online now, and they'll deliver it to your place.
Yeah, yeah.
This IGA had missed the boat on something.
Okay.
It was a small one, little boutique one, so granted, no self-serve, that's fine. But they had something at the register that I didn't agree with.
What was
it? Needs fixing.
What was it?
They've got a reverse screen that shows the items that are being tallied up for each transaction, so that on the customer side, on our side, we can see. And I get it. It's so we can see that they've only scanned one item once, or they haven't, you know, missed something or whatever.
So it's kind of like a drive-through when you're at McDonald's and you're ordering your meal, and you can actually see it filling up.
Yep.
As you go, yep, there's the
And
Big
you
Mac,
can go,
yep,
sorry, that was Diet Coke, not normal.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of a thing.
Okay. So gives you a running tally.
Gives us a chance to jump in, intersect anything.
Sure.
However, I've got an issue with it, because at this one, there was one register, one cashier, and there was a bit of a line forming in the shop. So everyone was like banked up one after the other behind the person that was in the transaction.
Right.
So instantly, I was like, I could see what everyone's buying.
Right.
Don't like that.
It's a bit voyeuristic. You can sort of spy on what people are buying and go, oh, what's
interesting
that they bought that.
And you can get to know the person.
Right.
I don't like it. I didn't like people being able to see what I was buying.
Was there something on your shopping list that you were specifically concerned about people seeing? Or?
Well, it was a staycation, Tim. There was a lot of time spent in the room.
Okay.
So we bought condoms.
Okay.
And that's very uncomfortable.
Threw it straight out there.
Yeah.
I think condoms are one of those things, Dan, that you can't buy on their own either. You have to disguise.
Oh, absolutely. We bought some Smith's chips. Yeah. We bought some shapes and some mint sliced biscuits.
Just great disguiser.
Because you have to, as I said, buffer the transaction.
You do. You do. Did you get any vibe or any look from anyone?
No, but I did tell Georgia to go out because I told her I don't want them to be able to see the person I'm going to be using the condoms with.
Dan, a lot of lift chat on our show. Lifts, elevators and stuff.
Oh, you've run into another one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we spoke about how awkward lifts can be.
Yeah.
When you're walking into a lift with someone, you can be having...
Had heaps of feedback on it, so people really agreed.
They did. You could be having a great conversation, you and I, you know, who have known each other since we were kids, can be having a great conversation, walk into a lift, and then all of a sudden...
Drops.
You can hear a pin drop. It just goes silent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got something to do with the environment. There's something there. Socially, there's something there.
There is something there.
Now, something happened to me recently that got brought to my attention.
Yeah.
Apparently, at work, I didn't hold the lift for someone. Right?
Oh.
Yeah. And I recall the moment because I remember saying to myself, they were too far away to warrant me holding the lift.
Yep.
So I started thinking about the acceptable distance.
Yeah.
The acceptable hold the lift distance.
Yeah.
Now, this person was 10 meters away, but maybe a little bit less.
10 meters. All right. Let's visualize it. Okay.
My argument was...
So, where were they coming through a door into like a lift...
A lift area.
Okay, yeah, okay. So they were entering into a room where there was only lifts? Was that the only option once they entered that room was to go to a lift?
Yeah, probably.
That's an issue for you.
Well, here was my argument, okay? If there's no eye contact being made through the crack of the doors as they're closing, I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
The eye contact is, if someone goes, hold the lift, that's an obvious indicator, I will hold.
I would imagine that you would, surely the expectation is we have to wait for somebody to yell, hold the lift. How are we to know that they're not going to just stand there for a second and wait for somebody else
that's
who's
right.
catching up? Someone could be catching up to them, let alone them catching up to you. So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure put on the lift operator, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely.
To have to be reading a room. I mean, as we said, the lifts themselves are already something to really operate and focus on.
Socially, it's an interesting area. And I think that for everyone out there, I believe that verbally there needs to be something said.
Yeah.
Hold the lift.
Okay.
Hold that a sec.
Yep.
That's your key indicator.
I think so.
Or eye contact. Someone's down looking on their phone and they're heading towards the lift. That doesn't necessarily, you know, how am I supposed to know that?
Well, that's the thing. If somebody's not actively pursuing or looking at the lift, that's their destination. How are you to know that that's where they're going?
I would
argue that. So we're looking for eye contact, strong eye contact.
Absolutely.
And something vocal.
Yeah.
Something, hold the lift.
Yeah. And you know those little videos that you do of this? You do the individual. Can you somehow spread that around my office? Because I'm sick of getting talked about behind my back about the Tim, the non-lift holder.
Do you want to... Name somebody.
No, I can't name anybody.
It's Leon, wasn't it?
It's probably Leon.
Yeah.
Might have been Leon. Yeah. Very good.
Very good. Tim, you just went to South Korea. You've been on a plane recently, obviously.
Yeah, on a plane, yeah.
You're on a plane a bit. Would you like to think that you have good plane etiquette?
I reckon I've got some of the best plane etiquette.
You're a good traveller.
I'm really conscious of other people when I get on planes.
Great. Okay.
Yeah,
this really plays into what I'm going to ask you.
Okay, good.
You're in a seat of three.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Usually
a row of three.
Sure.
Yeah, sorry. When you sit down, obviously the middle seat's the worst, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No one wants the middle.
No one wants the middle seat. You lose your armrests.
Yep.
You lose your personal space.
Yep.
Everything, Dan, everything.
Where do you choose to sit usually?
Usually on the aisle.
On the aisle. Yeah. Easy access to get in and out.
Yeah,
that's good.
You can stretch the aisle leg
out. You can a little bit,
so even if one of them's dying because it's sort of in that sort of right angle position for 12 hours, at least my other one gets a stretch.
Of course. Here's one for you then. When you sit down, how do you feel the armrest situation works on a plane? Who is entitled to what armrest positioning?
Good question. I do believe, you know, many people don't believe this to be true, but I do believe that the two middle armrests in three seats can be shared 50-50.
50-50, okay, interesting.
The small of your elbow can be shared on an armrest with someone else.
Yeah.
The immediate outside one, that's for the person on the aisle, obviously.
Yep.
But the person on the aisle needs to understand that the person in the middle does have a crap seat. And
you need to help them
with the armrest.
Yeah. Interesting. I had a similar mentality. I was thinking that, if anything, the middle seat, given it's such a bad seating position, is maybe entitled to both armrests either side, just to give a little bit more appeal to the middle seat.
Sure.
And as you said, I feel a little bit bad that they're in the middle. So, you know, I've got this extra leg room. I've got a full armrest to myself that I can lean on. Technically, by your rule, they don't have one full armrest.
No, they don't.
No, which is a bit stiff, isn't it?
Well, they get technically it is one full armrest because it's 50% of each.
Yeah. I mean, we could do the maths for sure.
If you
want to do the maths. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, Tim, there's actually a rule that if you were to complain, if somebody in a middle seat of a aisle said, "Stewardess, can we just clear up the armrest situation over here just to make sure we're all on the same page?" They've got a rule ready to go. They've got one. You know what they go by?
What is it?
One armrest per person. So, window seat gets that one armrest that they've
got. On the window.
Yep. So, they've got that one to their right, if you're on, obviously, depending what side of the plane you're on.
Yep.
Middle seat gets the one to their right, I guess, if we're going from the left side of the plane. And then the aisle person gets that one. So, you've all got one full armrest.
So, it's everyone's armrest to the window side of the plane.
Yeah.
Depending on what side you're on. So, what's the aisle one for then? You can't use that.
No, that's your one.
So that person gets two. The person on the aisle.
No. Okay, let's start from the aisle. Let's start from the aisle seat. Aisle person, that armrest, which is on the aisle. That's yours.
Oh, yeah.
And then the middle seat gets that next one that's your other one. They get that full one. Then the window seat, isn't there only one armrest?
No, there's two armrests at the window. That's what I'm saying.
I thought it was just the plain wall.
No!
This is a flawed system.
Dan, as I mentioned off the top.
Yeah.
I've cheated.
I've
cheated on someone.
Mm. Okay. This is, I'm concerned. Camera girl Caitlin's beside herself.
I know. Yeah, she looks really concerned. Now, the first thing that you probably popped into your head was, you can't be... what have you done to Emma?
And also, you can't be announcing it on the podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows that we share all of our life on here.
Yeah.
So, if that... I would talk about that stuff. It's not Emma. It's not Emma. Because she's amazing. We all know that.
Yeah.
I would never do that. It was my barber.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, talk me through the cheating.
I've cheated on my barber. And what makes it hard is he's a very good barber.
Mm.
And so good that he knows, he'll look at hair and he'll know whether he's cut it or not. He'll go, what he did was I sat down and he started combing my hair and I saw this look of disappointment in his face.
Oh, no.
And he started making this concerned look.
Look, I wouldn't
have
done that.
He was frowning, there was lines on his face, he was like this. I was going, what's going on? Have I got dandruff or lice or something?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Did you ask?
I said, this is, different to... He's like, yeah, who cut your hair?
Oh, no.
He brought it up with me.
Were you honest? Did you just say...
I said, went to this place, a friend. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I was lost for words, Dan. I've never seen someone... I've never broken someone's heart like
that. Yeah, and so he was pretty disappointed.
Mm.
See, it's one of those things where a lot of people would say, oh, who cares? It's just a hair job. They don't care. They do care.
They absolutely do.
And you know why I think they do care? And I think they're almost entitled to, Tim. It almost is a genuine form of cheating. A haircut is quite a sensual and intimate experience.
It's personal.
Experience.
Well,
it is.
Intimate.
Running fingers through hair.
Sure,
you know, it's close to intimate.
Yeah.
You know, just lifting hair and like looking at each other through the mirror. You know,
yeah.
That much. Yeah. It's a trust.
There
that's
are,
what it is. You're breaking
that's
a trust.
Right. Outside of the intimate relationships that you might have with a partner.
Mm.
There's not many people who will massage your head and look through your hair. And so you're right, Dan. There is a personal, intimate relationship that people do have with their hairdresser. And when you do turn your back on them and go, I'm going down the road because I've heard someone else cuts.
Well, I think, as I said, I definitely think the word cheating applies. It's like you saying to your partner, look, you're not doing it for me in bed anymore. I went to a brothel. Sorry. Yeah. Because that's what it is. That's how they look at these other hairdressers. Oh, look at the shit they gave you. Like, they're dirty, they're unclean, they're unsanitary.
Yeah.
God forbid you take this luscious head of hair in there.
Well, I wanted to come in today and tell people and warn people. If you go into a hairdresser and think that you can just go and switch willy-nilly around, don't think that. You need to. It's a serious thing that needs to be considered carefully. Yep. And if you do switch, don't come back.
Tell me this.
It's brutal.
Tell me this. Now this has happened.
Mm.
You're in limbo here, Tim.
Yeah.
You've lost the trust of your mainstay barber. You've got a new relationship with another barber who, I guess, that you're new to them. They don't have any expectations of you yet. Where do you go from here?
I'm coming back to the old flame. I've already decided, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You've realised how good you had it.
I need a box of roses. I need some chocolate.
You need to do something.
I need to do something.
Absolutely.
Build back the trust.
Maybe wash your hair before you go something.
Might do
it's
that.
Always lovely.
Yeah, good.
Something we all find ourselves faced with at some point, Tim, is wanting to pull a sickie on something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I'm bringing this to you because I feel you're good at faking a sickie.
Well, the other day, I thought to myself, how many sick days do you get a year?
Yep.
I don't think I've used many.
No.
And so I've kind of gone, I need to tap into that because
you're entitled.
That's right.
Yeah.
So whether it be real or fake, I need to start using them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, I don't know about you, I'm not a great liar. So I find it quite difficult to call up and make up a crappy excuse because I feel I don't do the lie justice where it's not believable. It's easy to...
What about a text?
Here's the thing. I wanted to bring it up with you. What's an acceptable way or the best approach to go about calling in sick, pulling a sickie?
Well, I don't want to sit here, Dan, and show all my cards, but I feel like if you're pulling a sickie with a text message, it almost seems like you're more sick because you're so physically sick, I can't actually bring myself to call, dial a number, and talk over the phone. So I've had to just... really just punch in a little text message.
Yeah, this is all I can manage.
Yeah.
But see, here's my thing with that. I always took that as they don't want to call because they'll know that I'm able to tell that they're lying.
Yeah, that too.
But you know what I thought? My retort to that was email. Very professional.
It is. That's a professional
sickie. And you know what it is? It's also a consideration of the other person's time. Yeah. I realize you're quite busy. Just letting you know, won't be able to make it in today.
Yeah.
Keeping it through the formal channels because I'm showing respect. Yep. What are your thoughts on that form of a written message?
I've never heard of an email sickie.
Really?
But I feel like you should try it. Because it does seem...
Is that just trial and error for you?
It's got an elegance.
It does. Yeah, it's a classy cancellation.
Yeah. Here's a question.
Mm.
If you're pulling a sickie, let's say you don't feel like going to work tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's the afternoon.
Good chance, yep.
Right? When is it too early to call a sickie in the afternoon and go, I'm just not looking good for tomorrow morning? Or do you wait for the morning of? Because I feel like you're throwing them under the bus more by giving them less notice.
Absolutely, but... for you to call in the afternoon before, they go, well, how do you know you're not going to feel better tomorrow morning?
That's right.
And
get
so
some medication
yourself. Yeah, it looks like you just don't want to go.
Yeah.
But then if you call up in the morning and it's, you know what it is? It's a no-win situation. Because the gesture of I've tried to come in is met with, well, you didn't give us enough time. Do it the other way, Tim. There's negatives to both.
It's too stressful.
You've given us a lot of time, but still, you could have been fine tomorrow. There's no win.
It's too stressful, Dan, and I think we should just probably work our way through sickness.
Well, yeah. All we've worked out is you're entitled to how many sick days?
I actually don't know. I need to find out.
Find out, because you're entitled, so you shouldn't have to make an excuse.
I'm going to start throwing some out.
Yeah. Go for it.
Dan, I might have mentioned last week, over the weekend, at a Bucks party.
Oh, I don't know if you said it, but you told me. Yeah.
My first Bucks party.
Yeah, first one?
Yeah, it's my first one.
How was it? Because I'm nervous about the first Bucks party I go to because they just seem wild.
Yeah.
And there's an expectation that they have to be wild.
There is. And it is walking into it, you do. There's an anxiety of, I hope this is wild enough. I hope this is just like the movies.
Yep.
Yeah. It was long. I'll give you that. It was long. We started at 11 a.m. and there was lots of drinking, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. We played bowls, lawn bowls.
Okay, yeah,
so
that
was spicy.
An ironic sort of sporting choice, I'd imagine. Yeah. Let's do lawn bowls. That's funny.
It is. It's a very
Sort of we can just drink piss while we do it.
Yeah, get the shoes off, head down to the Fitzroy Bowls Club. It was great fun, and I saw a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a while. It was great. It was really good.
Good.
Something did happen on the Bucks, though, that I wanted to fill you in on because I thought you'd be amused by it.
Yeah. Strippers.
No, not strippers.
Okay.
When you look at me, Dan, and for those people who are watching on YouTube, do you see someone who might look like they're in a gang?
Absolutely not. Why?
Absolutely not. Maybe like an accountant gang or something like that.
Even then.
Well, I never thought in my wildest that I would be referred to as a member of a gang or you're a gang, you're in a gang. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
I got put in that little pigeonhole at the Bucks party.
How'd that feel? Insulting?
Well, I felt a little bit tough. I felt sort of.
Okay, so you took it well.
Yeah. So at first it was shock.
Probably the coolest you'd ever been at that point.
Started to own it a little bit.
Yeah, cool.
A little bit of swagger came over. A little bit of danger.
That's good.
Over me. But Dan, we walked into this pub, and I get it. Bucks parties, when a big group of guys walk in, the theme was silly shirts. So we did look.
And you got.
We did look matching, but we walked in and the bartender said, you're Bucks. We said, yeah, actually we are, yeah. Probably one of the most behaved Bucks parties in Melbourne.
Yeah. But still there's a stigma attached to a Bucks.
Sure. And I didn't know about this stigma at venues.
Oh.
So we walked in and it was 3 o'clock and we ordered our first round of drinks and the bartender came out from the bar and said, you guys have got to leave by 4. And we all thought, what's happened? He's gone, you're a bit of a gang.
A bit of a gang. Okay, this is not how I expected the term gang to be thrown around.
Now, unless I'm pulling out a knife or a gun or I've got leather on or tattoos.
Just say, pat me down.
I'm not in a gang.
Yeah.
I'm not in a gang. Don't label me as a gang because I'm wearing a silly shirt with my friends and having some beers and all that sort of stuff.
Now,
don't
label me. You were out with tradesmen. I think you were the black sheep.
There were some tradies in there.
You're the black sheep in the gang.
Sure.
Did you take this opportunity, Tim, to sort of show your strengths and stand up and fly the flag for the crew?
Well, I think because there were a lot of tradies, and I probably looked like the one that was different. Maybe I was the leader. Think about that.
Yeah. Again, probably the coolest you'd ever felt.
Yeah.
Still, something you'd made up yourself, but interesting.
I didn't stand up as the
leader. So they were addressing you. Like when he came out and said, you guys have to leave by 4, looking at you.
Sure.
I think it was probably because you were the weakest looking.
Okay.
Different approach, but.
Could have been.
Yeah, could have been that. Tease it off the top, Tim. Got some taste testing.
Oh, we're
now.
Doing this, yeah.
Yeah.
Should I be concerned? Because I'm.
No. You should be excited. I'm about to change your world.
All right. How so?
Well, Tim, you and I talk often. You're always like, oh, I'm trying to be a bit healthier, trying to lose a few kg, trying to get more active.
Absolutely.
I have just... You ready? You ready for your world to be rocked?
I'm ready.
Tim, you've got a little bit of a sweet tooth.
Massive sweet tooth.
You love a snack, don't you? You love like a little sweet, a little savoury.
I could go with my whole day, so no main meals, and just have snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Trickle throughout the day, over 12 hours.
You ready to be able to do that?
Yeah.
Tim, I've got some healthy alternatives for you.
Healthy? So you're saying that I can eat these as much as I want, as often as I want, and not...
You won't even know the difference.
Okay.
You like Nutella?
Yes.
Who doesn't like Nutella?
Love regular
Everyone
Nutella.
Everyone loves Nutella. Guess what I've got for you?
What is it?
A healthy alternative to Nutella. Now just...
But while you're getting it... So I know you're saying it's a healthy alternative, which is great, and I can see there the label, it looks healthy... But the reason that I eat Nutella is because of it tastes like Nutella. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean by that? Or
No, I know what you mean.
But you're saying this is going to taste just as close to...
Oh, look at it. Look at this. Ready? Got your mouth ready there, mate?
All right.
Throw that in.
All right. So I've got it on a spoon. It does look very similar to Nutella. Yep. There's some seeds in it.
Yeah. No. Just put it in. Don't analyze it. Just put it in. Mmm, Nutella.
It's claggy.
It's good.
It's definitely not like Nutella.
What we call this is cacao super spread. So, I mean, just one healthy alternative for Tim James to get a little healthier.
It's definitely healthy. It tastes healthy.
Camera girl Caitlin just getting the next one ready.
Perfect. It actually, Nutella sort of melts in your mouth and sort of runs down your throat in a nice sort of smooth, delicious way. This sort of sticks on your teeth a bit. It's a bit, it lingers, Dan. It lingers.
Well, you ready for the next one?
What's that?
Throw this in.
Now, what's this? This could is another. There's a drip straight onto
little
my
drippage.
Hand.
Little drippage. Good.
What's that?
Who doesn't like peanut butter?
I do like Kraft. This feels a little too natural, Dan. There's a lot of oil.
Tim, this is peanut, dark roasted peanut butter smooth spread.
Yep, sure.
I mean, just another healthy alternative. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
How good's that?
I'm loving it so much. I'm licking it off.
Yeah. All right. Ready for some savory there, Tim?
Yeah.
Tell me, what's your favorite flavor of chip?
Oh, salt and vinegar, plain.
Camera girl, Caitlin.
I love chips. But Dan, so the two spreads you've given me, thank you for that.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Regular peanut butter and Nutella, though, they're two of my favorite things.
And now you've got a healthy alternative?
But I probably wouldn't substitute them because the reason that I like them is because of how they taste.
But they taste just like it.
No, oh, yeah, okay, sure.
No, yeah, okay.
I don't think so.
So they're not winners. They're not winners. But what about this? Tim, we've got crafted blends of quinoa chips.
It's quinoa. Quinoa. Yeah. Quinoa chips. Now, again, Dan, so
salt and apples.
If I'm going to get chips, Dan, I'm going to go get kettle, salty,
No, but try it.
You're giving me quinoa chips, salt and apple cider vinegar.
Throw it in. Yeah, apple cider vinegar. A little bit tangy. Throw it. There it is. Hey, look at that. Swish that around. Yeah. Flick it around the tonsils.
Yep.
Yeah, wipe the corners.
Healthy alternatives have a tendency to really take up a lot of your mouth and stick in there. And
It does linger. You're right.
It's not. I'm not as sold as you are.
Really?
Like, I appreciate you thinking about me.
We're not dumb.
And
we're not dumb.
Now, what else have you got here?
Ready for this one? This one you like. Did you say you like a Smith's Original?
I love a Smith's Original.
Who doesn't like a plain chip?
You've got some Smith's Originals there, do you?
Got one better.
What's that?
Brown rice sea salt chips.
Okay.
So another healthy alternative, throw one of those in. Tell me how that goes.
Okay. Hey? Corn chip.
Ready? Man. This is the winner. Hey. If you tell me you don't like that.
That's actually not bad.
I told you, not bad. Here we go. Tim.
Yes.
It's time for
Tim and Dan's rule book.
Dun, 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 dun,
the book of rules.
Dun, 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 dun,
Tim and Dan.
Dun, 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 dun,
good.
Dun.
Yep. Okay.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. I've got a new rule for you this week, mate.
New rule. Dan, people say that we talk about rules so much.
Yeah.
We almost need a completely separate podcast, whole new show that's just about rules.
Ooh. Almost like a rule book podcast.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be a bit of fun.
Bit of a look into.
Yeah, very good. Okay. You never know.
What's your rule?
All right, the rule this week, Tim. I'm out for dinner the other night.
Yeah.
And I'm out with a group of people, and you get trapped in individual conversations when you're out with a group, don't you? And people sort of cling to each other. That's fine. We're walking out of the restaurant.
Night's over, dinner's finished.
Yeah, dinner's paid for, heading to our cars. Before we all break up, I'm in a conversation, and the person who I'm talking with goes, "Oh, guess what? Oh, God, I've just lost it. What was I?
I
hate when this happens.
Really trying to squeeze their mind, really giving their brain
a
work.
They've completely lost it. And I completely sympathise with that.
Yep.
Because it is. It's frustrating, isn't it?
Really frustrating.
You know what's frustrating? Having to linger around and hang out and not knowing how long do I have to wait here for you to try and remember.
Yeah.
What's the rule? There needs to be a rule around this. Would you agree?
So, like, what is the polite amount of time to linger and wait for that person to remember what they were going to say? And when's the polite time to go, look, don't worry about it. When you think about it, just text me. It's fine.
So that's what I wanted to know. Is it rude to turn around and go, just let me know when you remember and walk off? Because is that saying, I don't really care. I don't really care what you were going to say. It's not going to be that important. Or does it show interest to hang around?
I guess it depends how the person has set up the memory.
Yeah.
If they've gone, like what you said, you're not going to believe oh, geez, I've just forgotten it. If yep. they've set it up, like, okay, you're going to have to wait around for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You do have to give them some time, I think, because if it's right, it's almost there.
Yeah, it's dependent on how close they are to remembering.
It's on the tip of their tongue, Dan. It's right there. They just need a little bit of help. I think you've got to linger around for that and wait for
But if they say, ah, it's completely gone. It's completely gone. Then you can go, okay, well, if it comes back to you, let me know.
Absolutely.
But until then, yep. so really you have to almost ask the question, oh, how is it just there? How close are you?
Yeah.
Is it? And if they say, yeah, yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Okay, I've linger, got a minute. Linger. I've got yeah. a minute.
Maybe help them. Maybe help them pull it out.
Ah, yes.
Make references to things during the night. Maybe it'll spark something.
Yes. Was it the pastor? Was it the...
Yeah.
Was it the bill?
Yeah. I reckon that's good.
Okay, that's good.
So what do we reckon?
So, okay, so the rule...
Time limit.
Yeah, yeah. So time limit, 1 minute for just here.
Yeah, it's on the...
Just on the cusp
it's on the tip of my lips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Right there. Just seconds. Can't remember. 60 seconds.
On the clock.
Start the clock. If they say, nah, I think it's completely gone, out of there.
Abandon
Text
ship.
Me later.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that's pretty fair. Is that coherent enough? Does everyone... Is that clear?
60 seconds for on the lips.
Yep.
It's right there.
Yep.
Abandon ship if for it's completely gone.
Completely gone.
Yeah, I think that's easy.
I think we can write that into a rule.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it for another edition of Tim and Dan's Rule Book. The Book of Rules. Tim and Dan. That's enough. It's good. Keep it.
Well, Dan, episode 8 all wrapped up. I've still got the taste of a lot of the things.
You've actually got a little bit just...
Do I?
Just there. There you go. Yeah. A little bit of peanut butter, I think that was.
What did I have? I had natural peanut butter. I had a natural Nutella.
Yes, I've tried to help you. I've tried to bring in healthy alternatives to better your life, Tim. Mm. And you've pretty much knocked them back, except for the sea salt chips.
The sea salt chips were quite delicious.
Yeah, they're quite good.
It is good. In winter.
Yeah.
You do need to start looking. These are the changes that need to be made now, because then when summer comes around...
Exactly
and
right.
...and I'm getting Speedos on...
Yep.
...guess who's going to be looking good with their peanut butter and...
Guess who you'll have to thank?
You. Thanks
Dan
very much.
Dan and his healthy alternatives.
Dan, good thing about our show is you can get in touch with us directly.
And more people are. And it's
great.
Been great.
Yep.
You can get in touch at Facebook, Tim and Dan. Search us there. Tim and Dan Graham on Instagram.
Little
Tim
play on words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's very good. Rolls into one. Yeah. Tim and Dan, Tim Dan Tweets.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter. That gets almost no traffic.
Yeah.
And YouTube. Just search Tim and Dan. Hit the channel section. Filters it through. There we are.
It's all there.
It's all there. Subscribe. Like. Follow.
Follow, do all that stuff. All
that
the kids
stuff.
Are doing now.
Yep, yep, yep. iTunes.
We're on iTunes as well.
We're on iTunes.
We're everywhere.
Podomatic. Everywhere. It's a lot to keep
There's
on
a
top
lot there.
Of, isn't
you
it?
You know what? It's too much. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, just watch this once a week.
Dan, I'm looking forward to catching up with you next week.
Yep.
I know that you've got an eventful week coming up. And
I do. And you know what? Let's leave it there. I don't want to tease too much because
okay.
I want to keep you on your toes.
Okay, Dan, good to see you.
You too, Tim.
See you, mate.
See you later.